Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
Hello and welcome. I'm Kate Boone, and today we are in conversation with Dr. Celeste Kempfer. Celeste Kempfer is a senior lecturer in the Department of Economics and Finance at the University of the Free State. She holds a PhD in behavioral economics from the UFS. She has a flair for both the academic and administrative work environment, with at least 20 years experience as an academic and 8 years work experience as a public servant. Her areas of expertise include teaching behavioral economics, macroeconomics, and labor economics at both undergraduate and postgraduate level. She's currently part of the fourth cohort of the UFS's Academic Leadership Program. She serves on both the Ethics Committee and the Learning, Teaching, and Digitalization Committee in the Faculty of Economics and Management Sciences. She's a member of the Economic Society of South Africa, as well as the Economic Science Association and the International Association for Research in Economic Psychology. She's happily married and the proud mother of 4 children and the grandmother of 1 grandson. I'm going to welcome Dr. Celeste Kempfer. How are you doing this morning?
Yes, you said it. We put it out there.
Yes. So we're going to start with 2 icebreaker questions. I want to find out from you. I don't know if you're much of a music person, but if you are, what's your go-to karaoke song?
I love music. It would definitely have to be Dancing Queen by ABBA.
ABBA. Oh, yeah. It's playing in my head already.
One of my favorites.
it really is such a timeless classic. So if you could then, second question, if you could then eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
You see, the thing is I eat everything. I love everything. But if it had to be one, it would probably be prawns. I love prawns. Yeah.
Okay.
Seafood and prawns.
All right. I'm getting a lot of seafood people of late. I don't know what it is with seafood, but yeah, it's clearly a favorite with everyone that I just have been interacting with recently.
Okay.
Perfect. So we're going to start our conversation now. Dr. Celeste, before we unpack your job and what it is that you do as a senior lecturer in the Department of Economics and Finance, tell me about the best day in your career. When was it and what happened?
The best day would definitely be the day I received confirmation from the examiners that I had passed my PhD.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the date exactly. It was on a Thursday morning, the 12th of March, 2020. It was just a few days before the president announced that we were actually in a pandemic. I remember that announcement was on the 15th of March. So, I was in my office. My supervisor phoned me to say he's received the feedback and that I'd passed. There were some adjustments that I had to make, but not many. And that feeling of finally all these years' hard work had paid off. And when you submit your PhD, you don't really know what the outcome will be. Of course, you expect to pass and you expect a positive outcome, but that's not always guaranteed. So it was for me very valuable to know that my research and my thesis was considered valuable to the examiners and that they considered it worthy of a pass. I remember running down the corridor in our department, just screaming to everybody, I passed, because I was so relieved. So that would definitely have been, the best day for me.
Yeah, no, for you to run through your corridors and just say to everyone you passed, it definitely does signify an amazing day and the best day in your career. And congratulations for making it that far.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Now, I'm always interested in people who have gained work experience in both academia and public service. And I think maybe it's also just a personal misconception about how, different the two worlds are, but I want you to share with us, how would you say the two worlds or the two environments maybe are different or similar if they are?
There's a lot of differences. In the academic environment, we have theories and we have practices that we believe and that we teach and that we follow. It can be a bit narrow-minded in the sense if you do not have any exposure to the outside world. And the public sector gives you that kind of exposure. What I love about the similarities between the two is that you have to apply the theories that you learned in the academic world. You learn to apply them in the public sector and probably in the private sector as well. Mm. So you basically see, do these theories work? Are they realistic? Can you apply them in a real world environment? And they don't always work. And so for me, just realizing that not everything is cast in stone as we learn it in the academic environment, and that you have to be able to adapt in the real world and bringing that experience back into the academic environment, being able to teach to say that this is what theory has taught us. But if you go and apply it in this situation, it won't work. As an academic, you've got a lot more flexibility and freedom to explore things and to research things. And in the public sector, it's a lot more rigid. There are a lot more rules and policies that you have to, adhere to, and you have to stay in line with a lot of the policies of whoever your employer is. So it's a lot more rigid in the public sector than it is in the academic environment, because I feel it really in the academic environment, there's a lot more flexibility and freedom. But I learned so much in the public sector. I remember in the beginning, I would sit in meetings often and I just, most times my mouth would hang open because just the knowledge that you get from politicians, I know it may be odd to believe, but the knowledge that you get from them and just the way that they interpret things is a lot different to how an academic would. And so you must be broad-minded in the sense also to not just, I'm an academic and this is what the theory says and I believe this and I'm an economist and I've got a master's in economics, so what I know is right. You must be broad-minded to listen to what other people have to say and to learn from their experiences and their advice also. And I think that's when you get the most out of any career, is if you open yourself up to what other people have to say, and just not be bogged down in what you believe. So for me, it was really both very valuable experience.
Now let's start by reflecting on your background and growing up as a little girl at school, thinking about your interests and passions. Did you always know that you would one day be in the field of economics?
That's a tricky one. I didn't know if it was possible as a young person, but I always knew I had a passion for teaching. And I always tell the story, and my parents will tell you as well. When I studied for exams at school, I would place my teddy bears on my bed and they would be my class, and I would stand on a chair in front of my cupboard door and I would teach to them, and I'd write. I always had these markings on my cupboard door because I was teaching my teddy bears. So I always, and that's how I studied. That's how I learned, was by teaching actually. And I come from a family of teachers. My father's a lecturer, was a lecturer as well. And my mother was a teacher as well. So I come from that environment of teaching. My sister's an academic at the university as well. And we come from a family where we've had many aunts and uncles who were teachers or, in the educational field. So when I started studying at the university and I actually started studying a BCom with the intention of specializing as an industrial psychologist.
Okay.
So that was that was going to be my major in my third year. And I will never forget sitting in a macroeconomics class in my second semester. We called it EKM 2-4 then. And so I changed my major to economics in my third year. And even when I was completing my degree, I didn't think it would be possible for me to pursue a career as an academic. It was something I wanted, but I didn't know how possible it was. You know, at that time, it was late 90s. So it was early on in the new South Africa, you know, with the new democracy. And so I wasn't sure, you know, if there was a place for a colored woman, a young colored girl, if you rather put it that way, in the academic environment. And when I completed my postgraduate degree, my undergraduate degree, I immediately registered for my honors. And during that year, I was appointed as a tutor and a marker within the department. And so my love for this subject just continued to grow. And I was intending on just completing the honors and then looking for work. And at that stage, I thought I'd probably have to find work in a bank somewhere or, you know, in the public sector as an economic analyst. And towards the end of my honors degree, one of the lecturers approached me and said that there was a vacancy, a six-month vacancy at the old Vista University. I don't know if you've ever heard of Vista University, but it was university for students who are previously disadvantaged. So that was what the university was about. And I grabbed the opportunity. I thought it's 6 months. I didn't have a job at that stage, and I knew I wanted to be an academic, and I thought maybe this is, you know, a step in the right direction. And with that, I decided to register for my master's as well immediately. And so I started the six-month contract. The six-month contract became an 18-month contract. They renewed it twice. And in those 18 months, I managed to complete my master's degree as well. And at the end of the 18-month contract, a lecturer position opened up at the university. And I applied for the position, and I got the job in September. I started September 2001, and I've never looked back. It was just, so I stayed there for 3 years. And then I left to go and broaden my way of thinking. And that's why I left the academics to go and see, you know, what the outside world is saying about the theory that we teach. But I always knew I would come back to the university. And so I was fortunate in 2011 to return as a lecturer again. And, you know, when I got back there, I said to my boss, I'm never leaving again, because I was able to see what's happening in practice, but I knew this is where my heart is. And
what an interesting journey. And I think I also pick up that you're very, very intentional in the decisions you make. And you've been very intentional with, you know, where you want to go in your career. It's really, really inspirational. Now, Dr. Celeste, we're going to travel through time and reflect or dream a bit. I'm trying to now challenge you and say or ask, let's say you didn't pursue economics or you weren't able to do anything close to economics or in the finance field. You already spoke about having a love for teaching, so you're also not allowed to say that. But do you think there could have been anything else that you would have liked to do or that you would have seen yourself doing?
Yeah, so there's two answers to that. The younger me would give one answer, and the me now would definitely give a different answer.
Okay, let's hear.
The younger me would probably have wanted to be an investigative journalist. I love a good story. I love finding out all the details about a story and telling the story over. I still love it, but I know as a younger person, that's probably something I would have wanted to pursue also. And older me now, for the last few years, and it's probably something that if I should ever decide to leave the university, this is definitely something I pursue, but I'd love to go into women's ministry. Not necessarily a pastor as such, I'm not holy enough for that. But I love sharing my testimony, and I love hearing women share their testimony about their spiritual journeys. I love being able to support women in prayer and, you know, just hear about how God has revealed himself to women as being a faithful God and a merciful God. and just being able to support women who go through rough times and tough times. That's definitely something I would love to pursue.
What would you say makes you good at your job?
I love economics. I love the beauty of economics.
Celeste, now, if someone listening now would also like to pursue a similar career path, especially considering how much the world of work is changing and evolving, what advice then would you give for someone to best prepare themselves?
So not necessarily specifically only for a career as an academic, but I think any career, if you don't have a passion and a love for something, it may become difficult for you to get up every day to have to go and do the same thing over and over. So I always encourage, and even with my kids as well, I always encourage them to pursue things that they have a passion for, pursue things that they are interested in. If you want to pursue a career as an academic, you must have a passion for the subject that you're going to teach. You must enjoy it, because that you must be able to translate to your students so that they enjoy it too. You must have a passion for learning and reading and research. So if you want to pursue a career as academic, ask yourself, am I good at research? Do I enjoy research? Do I enjoy reading every day? Because that's really what you have to do. You have to read every day. Do I enjoy personal interaction? You're going to have to personally interact with students on a daily basis. So do you enjoy that? Is it something that you see yourself doing for the rest of your life? And if not, then maybe this is not the career for you. And then, like I said, choose a subject that you are passionate about. And if it's not an academic career and you have to make a decision about something that you have to study as a student and a career that you want to follow, again, don't just choose the degree for which you get approval to study. Choose a degree that you know, I'm passionate about psychology, I'm passionate about optometry, or anything in the health sciences field. And then put yourself at school level in a position, because at school you already know what it is that you get excited about, what it is that you love. Put yourself in a position with your subject choices. Put yourself in a position where you are able to then apply for those degrees where you see you do have a love for the subject matter. And once you get access, you'll be able to study that. I find that too many students are just studying a degree for the sake of getting a degree. And also not doing enough research about what the labor market needs. So in many cases, the labor market is already saturated with individuals who have a certain qualification, and there are no jobs available for that. And now you may sit with a degree that you studied and you probably won't find work, you know, for that particular degree. And then your career doesn't match your qualification. And there's nothing wrong with that also, but then ask yourself, are you willing to waste all this time and money that you invest into a 3-year degree and then have to find a job that's not necessarily related to your field? So do your research also about what jobs are needed in the labor market, and then pursue a qualification in those fields.
Absolutely. Now, I always say no job is just good. And I also always say every job has its stuff. So as much as you have this passion and this love, there's some days where you just question, you know, this passion. So I want to ask for you, what would you say is the hard or the mundane part of your work? You know, as a lecturer, especially teaching at both the undergraduate and the postgraduate levels.
The hard part for me is the research, because I'm a teacher. So, you know, the university and all universities throughout the world want academics who are able to teach and who are able to do research. And by no means am I saying I can only teach. I know that I have to do research in order to stay a relevant teacher so that I'm up to date with what's happening. But research is hard, you know. Getting your work published is really, really hard, especially as an emerging researcher. So I received my PhD in 2020, so I'm still relatively young in the research field, but I have to publish if I want to be an associate professor one day. What helps with that is if you have a research buddy or a research team. And I'm very fortunate in the sense that both my supervisors have always included me in all their research efforts. So it's good to know that I'm not alone in the research journey. And, you know, to young academics, I want to say that also, and to students who are considering a degree as an academic, you will have to do research, but find something that you're passionate about and find a research buddy. And, you know, then it becomes a lot less daunting. It's still hard, but just knowing that you have someone next to you holding your hand, sometimes I feel like they're dragging me, but holding your hand and just taking you through this process, you learn in the process, and eventually you'll be able to stand on your own two feet and publish on your own. So definitely the research part is the hardest for me, and the administrative side is the mundane part of our jobs. But it comes with a package, you know. You deal with it. Nobody says any job would be easy and fun. So we deal with what we have to deal with.
Exactly. You take it as it comes. Now, we've reached what I always say is my second favorite part of the conversation. And I'm going to ask you 5 rapid-fire questions. So you don't need to think too hard with these ones. The first thing that comes to your mind, you just say. Are you ready for the questions?
Okay.
Okay. First one, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Sweet or salty?
Sweet.
Remote or on-site?
On-site.
Finish this one for me. Every morning I?
Run.
And then the last one. A wise economist leader once said.
On the other hand.
That's it.
That's what we always say.
Is it?
Yes, we always say one thing and then we always say yes. But on the other hand, because then we always leave ourselves open to interpretation.
Yes, that is so interesting. Dr. Celeste, thank you so much for your time and for being open to also sharing your journey in this conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I know our listeners will definitely too.
Thanks so much for the invitation, Kate, and for all the questions. And really, I'm honored to be a part of this initiative that you guys are running. And I really hope that what I shared is valuable to at least one student out there. But thank you so much for allowing me to talk to you guys today.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.